Go ahead and grab your Bible of what we've been working through this month. Our church is in a season that we've entitled there to do more in us, more in our church, and more in our city. So we're starting to engage in the way that we do that. Now, when we start a series in this room, we start a sermon in this room, we're always going to start out with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, because it's my firm conviction that every portion of the Bible is there, breathed out by God and profitable, so that everything God would ask you to do, you would be complete in and able to walk out because he's put it in there for you too. So there's three areas that we feel like our church is going to expand in. Capacity, we believe God wants us to reach more people. Connection, we believe that God wants us to engage in our city in a unique way. Those two things will cause us to have a greater impact both in this town, in this region, in this country, and around the globe. Our pastor has been sharing statistics every Sunday morning about things that our church is doing globally. And then we also want to, in this room, zero in what does that mean locally also. And so we've shared two texts every time because we want this to hinge around the study of Philippians we've been doing. Philippians 4:17 says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit of righteousness that increases to your credit. And so we are not interested. I am not interested. When we talk about tonight, it is not about you saying, well, look at there. They're all after our money. If you want to go see my sweet ride, it is a 2005 Mazda 3, 125,000 miles on it. If you want to check out Rachel's ride, it is a 2005 Chevy Equinox, miles on that too. And someone kicked in our bumper. So we are not in the, oh, let's just keep getting this and you're going to see me driving a Benzo soon. We believe God wants to expand the mission of our church, and that's what we're about. And then 2 Corinthians 9:2 says, for I know about your readiness, and I know about your desire, and I want your life, the way you live, to stir the zeal of other people. And so we believe, even in this room, that as a high school student, the way you live your life for Jesus would compel other people to love and live like Jesus as you do. And so we put out this thing called a BHAG. It's a big, hairy, audacious goal. The way I framed it is it's Sasquatch with no beef jerky, and that mug will punch you in the face sitting around a campfire. And so there's a way for us to look at it and say, all right, what can we try to accomplish? And so we've been saying every week on Wednesday, every week on Sunday, that we're inviting birth to graduating from high school over 5 weeks to give $5,000 in 5 weeks. And so between the children's and student ministry, we've been doing it. The deadline for that giving is today. If you want to give on Sunday, we welcome that. We're just not going to be able to count by the time we present it before our church. I can say that in 5 weeks, birth to graduation from high school has given thousands of dollars to us being able to say we believe in the mission of our church, and that's awesome. The little kids, big kids are all in the place of here's what we can do to help our church expand on, and I believe that God's going to use that zeal to cause our church to say, so how can we do that if this is what they've done? All right, and so we've shared this line, and unintentionally, this line has come up multiple times in the last couple weeks from me. I didn't ever plan to write it like that, but it just kind of has come out and has been my funk, all right? So here's what it is. We'll throw it on the screen for you. It's that God is fair by asking everyone to leave everything and follow him, all right? So we've kind of used that line over and over and over again, that Jesus ultimately is fair. Like when we say fair, what we mean by it is he got ice cream, I should get ice cream. He got $1 million, I should get $1 million. They want Powerball, I should win Powerball. They got a car when they, you know, got their license, I get a car when I get my license. They got a new car when they got their license, I get a new car. We'll play. That's what fair means to us. But if Jesus invites everybody and says, leave everything and follow me, that's fair. Because no matter what you have, everything is everything. So if you have a little bit, it's everything. If you have a lot, it's everything. And some people would say it's harder to leave everything when you have a lot. I would say when you leave everything, it's hard for everybody because it's everything. And so some of us in our relationship with Jesus will play it like this, that we'll give our life to God, but we're holding on to something. And our pastor has used the analogy that there's like a hand that's out of water, right? So everybody, every bit of you goes underwater, but you just got this hand out of water that's holding on to something, and you'll give everything to God but your hand out of water, right? So name whatever your it is, and there's just this hand out of water for you that's saying, I'm willing to give everything to God but that one, right? And so even if you want to picture your whole body underwater, and here is a hand that says, God can have everything but this, whatever that is. And it could be a really good, awesome, nice thing. But if it's still saying God's allowed to have everything but this, you're still not given everything. even if you've given a lot of things, right? So that's number one. I've also been on this song by this guy. His name's Andy Mineo. He's got this song called Death to Me. But in the middle of that song, he just has this line that says, it's not complicated, but it's costly. And I've found a lot in my relationship with Jesus that what he's inviting me to do and what he's having me be a part of, it's not complicated. Like, it's what God is asking us. Isn't that crazy? And so I've kind of been obnoxious about three things over this month. And I really think my obnoxiousness may increase. That Rachel has to hear this way more than you guys do. And I can tell you that nearly every night when I go home, I'm like, Rachel, guess what? And she's like, let me guess. All right, so we're going to put these three things on the screen for you, all right? The first is this thing called soap that we introduced to you last week. We've kind of had it on repeat a little bit. It's a way for you to spend time with God every day. We've got the sheets that are back in the cage. We'll throw them up on the stage here in a little bit. You can tell that I'm a rapper. All right, but this means this. S stands for scripture. O stands for observation. A stands for application. P stands for prayer. All right, scripture, observation, application, prayer, soap. We've been using this with our four-year-old and our two-year-old. Okay, so my four-year-old, I'll say to Jude, and any of you could ask him tonight when he comes back here to dance to the Sugar Hill Gang, right? Whenever he comes back here and does Apache and jump on it, you can ask him, hey, Jude, what does soap mean? He'll tell you scripture, observation, application, prayer. He's four. Micah is a little slow on the uptake, but he's two. Give him a little bit of grace. He's learning about the planet. So we'll talk it out loud, and he'll say observation. Can't say application. Tough one for a two-year-old, so he'll call it location. And then the last one is prayer. And so every day we've been with them using this to teach them, here's how you spend time with God every day. This morning, like I told Rachel, I was like, one of the things I want in front of our sons, not Bible on iPad, not Bible on phone, not Bible in whatever, like a literal Bible with my kids. And I want them to see me reading and studying the Bible while they have breakfast. So I've been doing that, and then this morning, Rachel and I were sitting there, I was filling some junk out, and I was like, Rachel, soap. And it just like blew my mind, right? Like the verse today is Isaiah 32:17, and I was like, oh, it was crazy. Like, and I feel like I've had a good habit of studying the Bible and being in it, but I feel like I'm in a whole new world. It's like Aladdin in my life with the Bible right now, and I'm just, it's a new fantastic point of view, all right? And so that what I've found with most Christian people is they put out a front like they are doing something, and they're really not. Like that there is this idea that we spend loads of time with God and we don't. And so here's the thing with soap. It is so easy. My four-year-old is doing it. And the truth is that when I'm 90, I want to be doing the same thing. Like I hope I don't get over. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what I can do with that. And I want to pray that God would help me to do. I hope I don't get over that. Boom. Number one. The second is like praying. Right? I believe in prayer, that when you pray, it's going to cause you to do the things that God has asked you to do. And as you do the things that God has asked you to do, you're going to go, oh, I need to pray some more. And then you're going to come back and pray. You're going to do, pray, do, pray, do, pray, do, pray, do. It's a vicious cycle, right? And then if we do that and we give God everything, that's all he's asked. Like that's literally following Jesus 101. So again, that's not very complicated. That's real. I mean, a four-year-old could get, spend time in the Word every day, scripture, observation, application, prayer, they could believe that that prayer is going to fuel them to do things for God and that they give everything to God, right? And yet, that costs our entire life. So there is this tension between complicated and costly. And so there was a sentence that came out on Sunday that I want to give to us today, and we're going to kind of work it a little bit, a different take on what Gary said on Sunday. So here's the bottom line at the bottom of your handout tonight. You get nothing else from our time, and it's this, that there is no loss in saying yes. Say yes to the dress, all right? There is no loss in saying yes, all right? No loss saying yes. And what we're going to do is we're going to show you a real quick video. If you were there with us on Sunday, you've seen it before, but I think that this video is super hot fire, all right? So for those of you who weren't on Sunday, you're going to get a taste. Those of you who were on Sunday, you get to see it again. And we're going to use this video as kind of the trampoline for us to spend the rest of the night together. So here's this video.
One of the fruit of the ground, the other the firstborn of his flock. God accepts one and rejects the other. Why? Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. The word tells us clearly that the offering Abel brought was the firstborn of his flock. But it doesn't say that Cain brought the first fruits of his crops. It simply says, in the process of time, Cain brought an offering. Cain harvested his crops and over time gathered enough to bring an offering. It was an offering on Cain's terms. God accepted Abel's offering because it was the first of his increase. Cain's offering was rejected because it wasn't the first of his. Giving the first to God requires faith. When a firstborn lamb is born in a flock, it's not possible to know how many more lambs that you might produce. But Abel gave his firstborn lamb in faith, whereas Cain made sure he had enough for himself before giving to God. Many of us treat God the same way as Cain, making sure we have enough money before we see if there's anything left for God. Even if we give from what's left over, God can't accept the offering because it's not the first fruit. Other stories emphasize this truth. In the account of the fall of Jericho, the Lord gave strict instructions that the Israelites were not to keep any of the spoils from Jericho. All of it belonged to him, the Lord declared. Jericho belonged to the Lord because it was the first city conquered in the Promised Land. It was the first fruits. God withheld his blessing from Israel when one man took some of the spoils for himself. The first belongs to God. There was much more at stake than money when Abraham offered his firstborn son Isaac. When God asked for his son, Abraham didn't wait to have 10 sons before giving Isaac. He gave the first when he only had one to give. Abraham had only the promise of having more sons. It took faith for Abraham to offer Isaac, faith that God respected and blessed. And God did the same for us. He gave his first in the form of his son, his first and only begotten son, who was given to us while we were still sinners. God gave Jesus in faith that we might one day give our lives to him. The gift of his son came before the blessing of our repentance and salvation. We give our first fruits in much the same way. Before we see the blessing of God, we give it in faith. Giving the first fruits of your income says to God, I recognize you first. I am putting you first in my life, and I trust you to take care of the rest.
All right, all right. Now, here's a part of that video. There's some stuff in there that I'm like, I don't know about that. It's a little bit of a hard no. Here's the thing. Okay, so if God doesn't need anything from us, God ultimately isn't interested in what we give, right? Because it's not like God is sitting in heaven going like, you better give me that because I need it. It's not how it works. Like, he has no need. And so for us, the issue of the way we give our lives to God is not God sitting in heaven saying, you better give me that because I need it. Why would God say, well, I don't need that offering, right? Like, I don't need to accept that, because the offering isn't about God. It's about us. And so there is a moment in tonight where we're going to be able to kind of lean into how are we giving our lives to God and what does that look like. And I'm really not talking about money, because I think you giving your whole life to Jesus costs a lot more than any amount of money you could ever have in your entire life. All right, so we've shared this ladder that we've been working on the last couple of weeks and have said that everything in life works on this ladder. There's a first time you do something. There's something that you do occasionally. There's something you do intentionally. There's a way that you can give a percentage of yourself to that thing. And then you're like, I'm going to give everything and anything to that, right? We've talked about jobs. We've talked about dating. We've talked about you and any kind of friendship. Everything in life works like this, that there is a first time, a sometimes, a intentional amount of time, a percentage of time, and all the time, all right? So we're going to look at the way that we give our lives, and we're going to start to say, okay, so where are we at in this? I'm going to encourage every one of you, as we said over the last couple of weeks, let's take a step up the ladder. Wherever you're at in all of this, my encouragement to you tonight is let's see where you're at, and then let's take a step up, all right? So we've got a couple of blanks that are going to work with this video that you can grab your hand out. We're going to knock these out real quick. I'm going to spend some time in life groups tonight. So here's the blanks, all right? The first blank we've got for you is this, is that when you give the first, it always requires faith. First requires faith. And so in that video, you saw this guy saying, okay, This guy gave a lamb, right? Because he didn't know how many more lambs he was going to have, but he trusted God with his lambs, so he gave him the first lamb. There was a guy who gave his son, and as he gave his son, he didn't know how many more sons he was going to have, but he said, here is my son. Like, every step of the way, the issue was not, what do you have, and then I'll take some of this, whatever's left. It was, I trust God with everything that I have, so here's the first. And the way that this works is it really is about our heart. It really is. And like, if you treat it as, I'm going to take what I have and I'm going to do with what I have, and then if there's some left, I can give that to Jesus. That's us saying, here, God, you can have my life, but I'm going to hold on to this outside. That I'm just going to have my hand up out of water, and as long as I've got what I need, then I'm going to give you the rest of that. But if every time we look at our relationship with God and we say, here is the very first parts of my life in every way, that requires faith. That requires you trusting God. And I'll say that most of us do not give first because ultimately we don't trust God. That ultimately there's something in how we've engaged with God that's caused us to say, I don't know if I can trust him. And so we want to kind of, again, lean into that space a little bit tonight. So there's two potential conclusions that we have in regards to us giving our lives to God. The first option is then, or the first option is and the second option is then, right? So that's the second set of blanks. There's a little verses there, but there's and versus then. And there are two sentences that are nearly exactly the same, and yet the condition of it is what causes them to be different, all right? So here's the two sentences: that we have enough, then we give, or we give, and we have enough. Okay, so the first option is, I'm going to make sure I've got enough of what I want, and then I'm going to give, right? And if we live our lives like that, I'm just going to tell you, I don't have a lot of years on the planet. I don't have many more than you. But what I can tell you, in the 31 that I do have, I have yet to meet the person who says that they have enough. That when they look at their life, they're like, I've got enough. Every person that I meet, the answer to the question is, how much is enough? The answer to that is always just a little bit more. There's always just some carrot in front of the horse that they don't have yet. And if they had that, they would have enough. But once they get that, they don't have enough. And so that's the first option. Let me have as much as I need to have enough, and then I'll give. The other option is that we give, and then we'll always say, I have enough. That we learn to live with what we have because we give, right? And so if we can say of our lives, in every area of your life, I give everything I have to God, you'll have enough. If you say, I want to keep every aspect of my life and then give some to God, you'll never feel like you have enough of your life. And ultimately, this will come down to that you trust Jesus to take care of you. All right, so that's the next blank that we want to have for you, is that I trust that you take care. I trust that you take care. If you trust that Jesus will take care of you, then it doesn't matter what you give because you trust him. If you don't trust God, then you don't think he'll take care of you. And you're going to try to cling on to everything you have because that's everything that you have. And so for us, when we look to our lives, when we look to, all right, what is first, this particular video used this term called first fruits. You and I don't use that language ever. Like, you weren't walking around to your friends like, ooh, hey guys, got the first fruits of my iPhone here. Like, that's not, we never use the word first fruits. And so we're going to have to engage a little bit in the scripture. So the first text we're going to look at is James 1. All right, so grab that Bible that's either in your hand, you've been writing on, or it's kind of close to around you. But James 1, 16 to 18 is the verse we're going to read tonight. All right, so that's the first one. It's on page 869. All right, so here's James 1, just a couple of verses, 16 to 18. All right, so here it is. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. All right, so there's that line, first fruits. All right, so here's the blank that we've got from that, is that it's first from is going to be the first that's given to. All right, the first from God is the first given to God. All right, so here's what happens, right? Like this line, like the line Father of Lights, I think is so awesome, right? That there's lights in the whole world and God is the Father of all the lights, right? So when this thing gets over, it's going to be dark. And you're going to be look up to the skies. And since this is a town, it's going to have the city light is going to dampen our view of the sky. But if you live in the country, you drive far enough out and you get to see this thing called the sky. And in the sky at night are these things called stars. And it's crazy that every one of those stars somewhere in the universe is a light bulb shining that we get to look at. There's bajillions of them, right? So we've got our star, the sun. It's kind of big, right? But in comparison to all the other stars that we know of in the universe, it is a baby star. It is like a wee little lad of a star. I mean, there are some stars out there that are super mega gigantic huge, all right? I mean, they're just massive stars. And we've got this little baby star called the sun, right? And God is the father of lights, right? And so he was just like stars, and they all made themselves, right? Just universe, and they all were like, here we are, right? Like, that's how he is. So he is the firstborn going just like, hey, stars, shine, and they did, right? And so God being the father of lights, it said that of us, in God creating everything, we to God were like a first fruit of creation. And there's a lot of things in creation he made, but there was a special thing that he did with humanity, right? That when you, if you have a dog, right, your dog is just a dog, right? Like your dog is not processing existence, right? We've got two, Roxy and Theo. I can tell you, neither of them are contemplating their place in the universe. Neither of them are looking at the stars going, I wonder what it would like to be there. Theo thinks of like three things in the whole world: food, play, sleep. Those are the things he thinks of. And if you mess with any of those, Theo will dominate your life. And he thinks of me a little bit because I saved him from the streets. But that's all that Theo thinks of. Now, Rox, she's a bit of a snob. All she's known is the good life. So she knows some other things. Like she cares about having her bed a very specific way. So she'll like get into her like memory foam bed and will be like, and then you'll even hear, like, she'll make noises if we're keeping her awake, right? So we'll be, Rachel and I will be talking, and Rox will just go, and we're like, oh, sorry for keeping you up, Roxy, right? But I can guarantee you, when she starts having her little puppy dreams where she's like, and she starts doing the dog thing, she is not going, I wonder what's out there. And she doesn't look to Theo, and she's like, hey, Theo. And Theo's like, hey. Like, he talks like Kronk from Emperor's New Groove. That's what I imagine, right? I always feel like when he wakes up, he's like, hey, master. Hey, y'all, Cusco. Hey, Hesha. Hesha, Bosho, Hesha, Bosho. Like, that's how I imagine him to be. And I can tell you that that's not true. So there is something very special about humanity. There are some wicked, smart animals in the earth, right? And none of them are lying awake tonight going, have you ever wondered why we're here? Did you ever think what was before us? None of them know about dinosaurs or anything for that matter. They're like, hey, you, we're the same. And then they see something with teeth and they go, not a friend. Not you, right? Like, that's it. Like, that is the world of animals. And so there's something very special about humanity, a first fruits. And so in God saying, my relationship with humanity is unique, that's what causes this to be special. All right, Romans 8 is the other text for tonight. All right, so Romans 8, 18 to 25, that's page 809. And this plane is going to land super fast. And then we're going to do some life groupness. All right, so Romans 8, 18 to 25. And here's what this says. It says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now that line, I was like, woo! All right, so freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, here we go, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we eagerly await for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. All right, and so then the last blank we've got for you is this, is that there is freedom in first. That there's freedom in giving first. There's enough about our culture, and I'm just saying America. There's enough about America that if you talk to enough people, they'll use this line, like it's like a rat race. And I don't know if you've ever seen rats race, but it is not thrilling. You put them in a box, you stick a piece of cheese there, and then the rats just kind of scurry their way over there and then just find their way. That is a rat race. And so when people say living life is a lot like a rat race, what do they say? That there's this piece of cheese out there and all the rats are looking for it. And we're all going to run around like crazy to get the piece of cheese. And everybody's going to say there is some different version of the piece of cheese. For some people, they're like, if you just get this car, you will have gotten the piece of cheese. What I can tell you about every car, regardless of about how expensive it is, that mug still needs an oil change, still needs new tires, and eventually is going to blow up. You can pay bajillions of dollars for your car. So go get some supercar that costs $1 billion. And guess what? You are still going to have to get an oil change. It's just going to cost a lot more. You're still going to have to get some tires. They're just going to cost a lot more. And that thing is eventually going to blow up and die. So that piece of cheese can't be it, right? That other people will say that it's in money. And yet it always seems like whenever someone's like, I am the richest person in the world, the next year there's somebody else who's like, I am the richest person in the world. And so if your cheese has been money, well, you better be the richest person in the world, right? Because anytime, like they had this big boxing event in Las Vegas. And what's crazy is they took this picture of the airport in Las Vegas, and every one of these private jets were parked like cars at this airport. And every one of those jets is like billions of dollars. Well, guess what? When you keep a private jet and you walk out of it in front of your friends, you are a boss. When everybody's got a private jet, you're not a boss anymore, right? So all of a sudden, you were a big fish in your pond, but now all of a sudden, everybody's a big fish. And you're like, oh, did you get the 2015 plane? I've been trying to get rid of this 2014. I tell my personal pilot all the time, wouldn't it be great to have the 2015? Like, I don't even know what that life is like, right? But there's that piece of cheese that it's in wealth, that you could have it in your accumulation of possessions. I don't even know if that's a word, but I made it up. You could have it in your, here's all the stuff that I've got. And then somebody's going to invent some new thing that you're like, ooh, I need that too. Like there's, every one of us just loves that thing. And yet, have we ever got enough? Like as soon as there's like, ooh, you got to get this watch. Who wears watches anymore? Isn't that what a phone is for? Sorry, Letitia, but this just got awkward. Anybody else wearing a watch? Is that for fashion, though? Oh God. Nobody look. Okay, so there's this, but like you got to go buy this watch, and 90% of this room's not wearing a watch. You're like, that's what they put a big clock on your phone for, right? Like you could say this thing, that thing, the other thing. There's always going to be a new thing, and you're never going to be able to keep up with other things, right? When the iPhone 7 comes out, doesn't the iPhone 6 look like a piece of junk? You're like, whoa, that, you put that feature in there. You can now use my fingerprint to unlock my phone so I don't have to take 1.5 seconds to type numbers. Whew, save me some life, right? Like there's all these things. And so it cannot be in our stuff. It can't be in your accomplishments, right? Because there are some people who have accomplished so much and you don't even know their name. They spent their whole life trying to accomplish this. Some people even gave their life for that. You don't even know their name. So it can't be in that. And yet, if we're able to say of our lives, God, here's my whole life. And in me giving you my life, I give you the first in everything. You're free. Like you're free from all of the rat race because it was never about the stuff anyways. It was never about what you gave. It was never about what you earned. It's never about what you had. It's about that you said, there is a Father of lights and every good thing comes down from him. And I get to give my whole life to the one who gave it to me in the first place. And so here's my way of saying every time, man, God, here's my life. Like, it may be simple for us, like for Rachel and I or for anybody else, that when we give that we're like, man, God, here's this because you got my whole life. What does this matter? Right? And I could wake up in the morning tomorrow and I can be like, soap. Whoa! And I could be like, what's 5 minutes? Because he has my whole life. I can drive around anywhere and I could say, what's this? Because he has my whole life. There is an incredible amount of freedom in you being able to say, Jesus, you have my whole life. So what's first? And I know for a lot of us, there's a way for us to feel like we've given God our first because we say it, but our hand is out of the water saying, but you can't touch this. I gave you first, but this thing is off limits. I'll give you whatever you want, just don't touch this. And what I've really come to find about my life is anytime I look to God and say, you can have everything, but that thing means more to me than God does. That thing all of a sudden holds so much value that if I were to give it to God, I don't even know what I would do. And it's not like God would say, here's this, thank you, and I'm going to blow that up in front of your face. And that's not what it goes. Like even Meredith brought up earlier as our leaders and I were talking, there's a lot of times where whatever that it is, that we'll say like, oh, this is the best. But when we give it to God, God reveals to us how much that thing wasn't best. This thing was just like a shadow. It was just like this pretend version. And God's like, you thought that that was it. And when you gave it to me, I showed you what it really was. And there is freedom in us being able to say, man, God, I don't need to hold on to anything because I've got you. All right, so here's a couple easy ways. We're just going to kind of flex on this text tonight, and we're going to jump into life groups. So for some of you, you may have been around this thing called church, never given your life to Jesus, the whole thing. Right? You may say, hey, I'm down with Team JC, but you know he doesn't have your whole life. He's just got your words. Right? And so today you may feel God working on your heart going, I want your whole life. Right? And so if that's true, when you get into your life groups, we're going to chat about that. Or you may have given your life to Jesus before, but when you walk into here, you were like, I am not down with JC. And yet God is using this moment to say, I brought you back. And you say, man, I'm giving my life back to Jesus. I did it when I was a kid, but he's got it now. So there's that. For some of you, you could say, man, I've given my life to Jesus. He's got it. But you know it's not first. You're living in the I'll take mine and whatever's left, I'll give that to God. And you just want to reset in the priority list to say, I'm going to give to God. And then that's it. Like there's freedom for me in that. You may say that you're in a situation where you just need to trust God. That you're just in some junk that you're like, I just need to trust that God's going to take care of me in this. That you are deep in the trenches. And here's the truth about the room. Somebody's in the trenches right now, right? Multiple people may be in the trenches, right? The trenches are real, right? There's a lot of trenches going wrong. So even if we're like half of us could be in a real trench, and you could say, man, I trust that God's going to take care of me in that. And then for every one of us to be able to say, there's an incredible freedom in following God and giving him first. Like I'm saying, like this last couple of weeks for me, why is there like so much joy and just so much? I've got so much like fervor and just zeal and all kinds of about this thing. Why? Because there's like all of a sudden there's a newfound freedom that I didn't even know. Like I didn't even know I was bound to junk. And now all of a sudden I'm like, ha ha. All right. And it's just free like crazy. And there's a freedom for every one of you to be had in following Jesus. That is not us going, here you go, God. But for us to realign our lives and to say, what a great joy it is to give our lives to the Father of lights and to live our lives free every day. And I'm like, sign me up for that. And that's where we're at. All right, so here's the way life groups are going to work. Meredith and Letitia are over there for the ladies. I know Crystal had to be out tonight and Brittany had to be out tonight. So if you were in with those two, you're going to have to jump in with them. And then Rachel Heppen went back home. So that kind of makes the girl groups weird. But Letitia and Meredith will be there for you guys to party in. And then for all the fellas, love you. It's going to be you're down with me tonight. Oh, baby. All right, so we'll hit it with the men. All right, so we're going to stay in until about 8:25, 8:30. All right, I intentionally wanted us to have plenty of time to work through some of these questions, all right? So our leaders are going to dig. Get ready to get dug. Happy day. See you there.